today on God's Sabbath. I want to go over a subject I started about 6 months ago, and it's not a continuation, but it's on the same subject. Have you ever heard of a politician or someone maybe that the Congress have hired from some religious organization, or maybe just about anybody, and they say, "God bless America"? What do they want God to bless? They're not asking, "Please, God, help this country repent." They're just saying, "God bless America." Well, maybe they want him to bless the United States, because most of the states, or a great many of them, have got a law passed at same-sex marriage. Maybe they want him to bless that. Or maybe it's because of all the millions of murders being done through abortion. Or maybe it's the drug craze that this nation is on, or the pedophiles that are ruining so many young children. Or maybe it's the millions of young ladies, some of them below the age of 10. I think they said that below the age of 12% of them are below the age of 12 years old. And as far as the records go, they feel that there are between 35 and 40 million women that have been raped. Or maybe they want God to bless us because we're ruining and raping this land and destroying the water supply because of greed. Change the subject, but still on it a little bit. Have you ever drove by a pig farm with the windows rolled down and smelt the stink that came from the pigs that they waddled in their own waste? Or did you get too close to rotting flesh or a sewer that backed up? All these things stink so much it can burn your nostrils, and it is a very hard thing to get rid of. We were visiting Arkansas about 6 years ago, and down there they got all the big chicken farms. And my brother-in-law wanted to take me and show me some enormously big golden eagles, and they are big. The reason for it is they take the chickens that are raised the wrong way and they throw them in this big pile. And the big eagles come along and they just eat almost all the time. And the stench from that, those piles of garbage of the chicken waste and the dead chickens, is almost unbearable. I don't know how anybody worked on those farms. But what they do, and this is certainly not anything that God loves, they take that waste and they mix it with some chemicals and they feed it to a cows, and the cows will gain weight twice as fast as they normally would. Maybe we want God to bless the United States for that. But today, actually, I'm going to change it around a little bit and talk about great fragrances, great smells, sweet smells. Like, have you ever noticed apple pie, homemade bread, fresh cut hay or freshly cut lawn, or maybe perfume? Were you actually aware, and I'm sure you are, did you know that God loves things that smell good? Today, let's look at another very important fragrance that in our Christian life we do need to examine. We do need to examine it very closely. That fragrance, brethren, we will see today is our prayer to God. And that's where I spoke on 6 months ago, but this is approaching it from a different viewpoint. Our prayer to God, let's go first of all to Psalms 141, and we'll begin and just read a couple of verses. You don't need to turn there. But Psalms 141 in verse 1, David is saying, "Lord, I cry unto you, make haste unto me quickly. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto you." Verse 2, "Let my prayer be set before you as an incense, as the lifting up of my hands and as the evening sacrifice." He wanted that sweet aroma of prayer to be put up to God so God can smell the sweet aroma of a prayer that's full of repentance, prayer of a person that was considered a man after God's own heart. But he knew one of the reasons for that is because David repented a lot and prayed a lot. We also can read in Revelation 8 and verse 3, cutting in the, it's not cutting in, it's just taking up the whole verse. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a great golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before God's throne. So, as you can begin to pick up, incense and prayer, the right kind of prayer, leaves a sweet-smelling flavor to God, and he loves smelling it. It is the way that God communicates how he wants his prayers. And I was reading before about when I was talking about God bless America and the things that we're doing in this country. It's a horrible, wretched smell to his nostrils. Somebody once asked me, well, what do you think of the Supreme Court? This was not a church member, but I was talking to some other people. And he said, what do you think will happen whenever the Supreme Court or all the states or maybe Congress pass a law saying that everybody have to abide by the same-sex marriage? And I said, well, you know, to me personally, I think that God is going to be pretty tired of that stink, and something may happen very quickly after that. He had showed and he demonstrated before when the Israelites do not obey him and they go on their way trying to do their own thing, trying to worship whatever the way they want to, that God will not tolerate it forever. There's many, many kings that led the people of Israel astray, and they paid for it. They were sent to Egypt. When they came out of Egypt, they had to travel around in the desert for 40 years because they weren't listening to God. And this country is not listening to God now. But that's just something that we need to be aware of so that we do not get into that habit of sending the wrong smell, the wrong fragrance to God. The right one is a repentant, praying attitude. In Exodus 30 and verse 34, and the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, takhti, oneka, and galbanum, and pure frankincense. With these sweet spices, there shall be an equal amount of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound according to the art of the perfumer. Your Bible may say apothecary. In a way, they were the same, but the difference is that the perfumer only made up perfume, and the apothecary would make up herb for medicine and things like that. And it said it would be to be salted and to made and pure and holy. And you shall beat some of it very fine and some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle to the meeting place where I will meet you. It shall be most holy to you. But it's for the incense which you shall make. You shall not make any for yourself according to its composition. It shall be holy for the Lord. He had set something here for himself. It was holy. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, he shall be cut off from the people. And you combine the two, it's telling you there's only one being to pray to. It is wrong, it's sinful, if you think that you can get by with praying to, and I know we don't, but there are people in the world think it's all right to pray to other entities, to Buddhists or whatever, or there's some people who believe in the gods or rock and wood and metals. James 5:16, it said the fervent prayer, and this worked right in hand with these spices, is intensely and passionately. That's what that fervent prayer means. We take an honest look at some of the things that has happened over the last several decades at Two God Church, maybe it's an indicator that not all of our prayers are up to par. It says that the prayers of a righteous man use a lot. God listened to the prayers of the righteous man. So here we see that God is intimately interested in your and my prayers, and we're going to go through it as we see more clearly what this means. We see the ingredients in this chapter of the holy anointing oil, and it lists the ingredients of the priestly incense. You notice it said multiple times that it is holy, sanctified, set apart, recognized by God as something very, very specialized, made just for him. God makes things holy. God gives directions to make things holy. So let's look during the course of this message at verse 34 and a few verses after that, and the specific ingredients, and see if we can learn something from these. We found it fascinating, or I did found it fascinating as I went through this. In verse 34, the Lord said to Moses, take upon the sweet spices. They're sweet. They're sweet smelling, enjoyable spices. They've got a wonderful fragrance. And that's the first one, that stacked tea, is a sweet spice. It means that when they were preparing it, to make it very, very small. And that was very difficult, because that type of spice is on a bush and it's almost like gum. So it's extremely hard to make it really small and fine. It means, as we're going through here, that when we're speaking of our prayers, we got to beat our prayers up extraordinarily fine. We got to go into details what we're praying about. And like the opening prayer, you could see that his heart was in his prayer. He wanted to pray before God, and he wanted to be right, and he wanted to be humbled. And that's one of the things that make the sweet smelling aroma goes up to the nostrils of God when we pray. We need to get down to, as you may say, to the nitty gritty during our prayers. In 1981, people, especially at the colleges of the church, were having problems with their prayer life, so they put out a survey. And I don't know if any of you guys have seen that, but it's people were letting them know, you know, Peter asked Christ, teach us to pray. And that's basically what the students were doing. And so the church made up an outline. By no means is it a prayer. It's an outline. If you just repeat it, then pretty soon it doesn't mean anything. But we're talking about breaking down our prayers, grinding them to a very small bit. Let me give you some examples. I'll just read them to you. They're the multi-category. First of all, you know, we, according to Matthew 6, starting in verse 9, we address God. God the Father, and we're praising God. You know, hallowed be thy name. But more than just that, we want to recognize his possession. We want to praise him. We want to glorify his name. We want to glorify how great God is. We want to thank him for his plan. It's God, the holy God, the omnipotent God plan to send Jesus Christ here to earth. We want to pray for his kingdom to come. And we need to be doing that, but if people are not praying correctly, we may be praying to our own demise. You know, we want to discuss these things with God. And going along with prayer, you know, this one local elder one time said, you know, you got one mouth and two ears. It means that you should study twice as much as you pray, or listen twice as much as you speak. And I think that's a very good outline when you were studying and when we're praying. But when you're praying to God, you can discuss the world ill so that we understand more fully why we need his kingdom. Pray for the work, the guidance from God, spiritual strength, God's inspiration, decisions that are being made, the writing, the plain speaking truth, and not lying. And by the way, there's a big gap between not lying and speaking the truth. Pray for protection. Pray for the leading ministers that are supporting the administration as they follow Jesus Christ. Pray for the ministry around the world. Pray for each other, the local ministry. Pray for ABC. Pray for God's will, more new people. If it is God's will, that more new people will be called and chose to follow that calling. To bless the work financially. Open doors for the gospel. Bless and guide the TV program as well as the internet and the writings. Bless and guide the works, publications like the Good News and so on and so forth. And pray for God's will, guidance, and direction in your work, your life, your family, other church members. If somebody came up and asked you, well, what is her life like or what is his life like, would we be able to know our brethren good enough to tell them? That's what God wants us to do. He wants each of us to know each other so well that we're able to talk to God about that person in a nice, loving way and not you know, gossiping about him or anything like that. That's not God's intention. Pray for the youth in the congregation. Pray for a spokesman club and preteens and teens Bible studies. You know, I mentioned spokesman club. We got a lot of young people in their early teens in spokesman club, and they're awesome. I would invite each and every one of you, if you can, put it into your schedule to go see them. I mean, that God is going to have an awesome group of young men to work with here in the next 5, 10, 15 years if the world continues. Pray for the physical need. Pray for that we can forgive one another so that we can be forgiven. You know, reading just the list that I've given you so far, that's already taken up 6 or 7 minutes. So if you say you only got time or can think of only some things that only last for 2 minutes, well, we've already accomplished something, but I'm nowhere near done. I got a little bit to go. I think the clock is fast. Thank God for the blessing of protection, for adequate income. Ask him for good health. Blessing for your mate, your family, to supply the needs of other members. Pray for daily spiritual need, more of God's spirit, ability to handle tests and trials, inspiration and guidance for personal Bible study. Other members' spiritual needs, pray for spiritual growth. Ask God for spiritual aid in helping you build his mind and character. Ask for wisdom. Ask for the fruits of the Spirit and then go through them. You know, their love, peace, joy, patience, and gentleness, goodness, and mercy, and long-suffering, and temperance. Ask for forgiveness again of your sins. We need to do that one, or I do every day. You see, this is breaking down in great detail our prayer. That was that first bite. Pray for spiritual protection. Critically important, our adversary, Satan, and his helpers. They don't sleep, brethren. They don't need to rest. Were it not for the grace of God, they would have already destroyed us. You know, Satan wants to take over God's kingdom. You think there's room in his kingdom for you and I? No. Pray for protection from Satan broadcasting from this world influence. And I think that's something that we really need to concentrate on because there's so much garbage out there. So much. Movies, everything, songs, everything got so much of the world in them. To correct wrong attitudes and viewpoints that we may have, for God's help to overcome weaknesses and sin, help us to resist temptation, to spiritually protect other members. Remember, Christ prayed for Peter. He said, Satan would sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. And he wasn't able to do that. Pray for others, you know, again in James 5:16. Thank God for his son's sacrifice. And, you know, in about 4 months, you know, we're going to be taking part of Passover. We don't have to wait for Passover to talk about his sacrifice. We need to thank God for it. And naturally, when you do pray, you know, you always want to do it in Christ's name. This is a very specific list, and we could add to it, or you could add to it, you could grind it up even smaller, but this one I'm just giving you is just a basic outline. And I don't know about the other, but whenever I give a sermon, one of the last things I do is I ask God to, if it's okay, and I ask him on my knees. But there's other things, it wouldn't be the first time if I got down, and I'm not bragging, I'm sure just about everybody here does. And if I'm feeling down, I'll get down on my knees and read the Bible, especially like Psalm 51 and things of that nature. But we need to pray that our attitude will be receptive to God's way of thinking, that we'll be teachable by God's Holy Spirit. You know, it kind of funny, you know, when I went to church three or four times, I started listening to the truth when I was seven. But they were giving candy away one time in church, so I went there, and I remember this minister getting up, and for 15 minutes, he told about all the evils of smoking cigarettes. But within 5 minutes after he quit giving his sermon, he had already smoked three cigarettes, you know. So we want to make sure that, you know, that we're praying for the minister, that they give it the food. They are leaders by example. You can listen to sermons, or I do anyway, and that is directed at me. And I know that I hope I know that the person up here speaking is not singling me out, but God is. Listen, Jerry, he said, listen. There are points here that you need to concentrate on and correct. You know, Solomon, when he prayed to God, I think in First Kings 3, and I was just, you know, he prayed and prayed and prayed, and he didn't ask for anything. He didn't ask for riches. He just asked for wisdom. He said he's like a little child. He doesn't know how to come in and how to go out. He didn't know how many people he was over, but there was a lot of them. And he did it in such a humbled way that God not only gave him that, but he gave him riches. He gave him wisdom that no person before him or after him was able to have except for Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, by the way, is the one that gave it to him in the first place. He said that all he wanted for God to do is to give him an understanding heart. And John chapter 17, you don't have to go there neither, but you remember when Christ was without hours of being put on that stake, being beaten and brutally murdered, well, all of his blood came rushing out. What did he do? I know what I'd be doing. I would be praying, please, God, get me out of here. What did he do? He prayed for the disciples and he prayed for you and me. And we're supposed to be like Christ when we're praying. So we need to break down our prayers to very small, very detailed outlines. The second ingredient in Exodus 30 and verse 34 is onika. And it means to roar. I don't know if you've ever heard of in person or a lion roar. And you, even if they're a mile or two away from you, not only they almost like they vibrate the air. And it's just a full of energy. You not only hear it, but you feel it. It's kind of like a chill runs up your spine. Or if you ever thrown gas on a flame, whoosh, you know, that is what this word means. To be energetic, to be able to put energy into your prayers. In the faith chapter, in chapter 6 of Hebrews 11, and this is something that we got to be very careful about as we approach the days that are coming up. Believe that God is. Do we see a shift in this country and the way they believe the country rapidly, and I do mean rapidly, on a spiral downhill slide or pitfall? And they just don't want to believe in God at all, because if they do, they'd know they'd have to correct themselves. They wouldn't. They're giving themselves a license to do whatever they want by denying the power thereof of God. But we need to really, really, really believe in God. Really believe in what he says. We must be stirred up, energetic. We're not. Energetic prayer is not, as we heard of a child, now I lay myself to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It doesn't do it. It doesn't. We got to put all into it. Every fiber of our being, every fiber of our energy and our praying and our mental and spiritual aspect, we need to pour out an energetic prayer to God. There was once this little, I'll just ad lib it, of the proper way to pray. This one guy said, it's down upon my knee. That's the way to pray. And one minister said, in standing straight and with outstretched arms, and your eyes, upturned eyes. No, no, no. Just posture too proud. A man should pray with his eyes fast closed and head continue bowed. It seemed to me his hand should be grasped in front with his son pointed down. "No, no, no," said another minister. "Last year I fell into Hogan's well, head first, with both my heels sticking up, my head pointing down, and I made a prayer right then and there, best prayers I've ever said. The prayingest prayer I've ever prayed, standing on my head." You know, every knee shall bow, and we should bow to Jesus Christ and God the Father. But there are times, you know, some people may call it meditation, some people may call it focus, but when you're going down the road or anything, you can pray. You know, especially if things are bad. But what I just described with you, that guy probably was enthusiastic and very energetic praying for the mess that he was in. I would say that he was very, very in tune to his prayer. Jacob in Genesis 32, you know the story, he wrestled with this being. Some believe that he was the God of the Old Testament, and so do I. But he wrestled all night long. He didn't give up. He put his all in. All the energy that he could muster, he put into that. And that's what we need to do when we pray. You know, supplication is found 60 times in the Bible. One of the definitions of supplicate is to go before, over and over, not give up. Did that describe us praying to God? And the word supplication means to be in awe and adoration. To really love God, love what he stands for, and love his laws. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, you don't need to turn there, but it said, "In the morning he rose up," a long time before daybreak, "he went out and he departed into a solitary place so he would not be disturbed. And he prayed." He wanted to give it all. He didn't want anything to interfere with his prayer to his Father. And that was Jesus Christ. Someone that we should emulate. Back to Exodus 30. The last ingredient. Galaram. It says, it means the choicest part. You don't want to go to God, you know, after you put in a long day's work and so tired your eyes are falling closed, or after a couple of drinks, say, "Well, I'll go pray now." You know, you want to give him the best part of your day. When you're most energetic, when you know that it's going to be a sweet smelling aroma to God. We need to have our best time for God. And that certain spice, it would burn for a long, long time, by the way. In Revelation 3 and verse 18, it tells us, cutting in, it says, "I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." Turn from this approach to God. Right here is the symbolic of righteousness, of having white raiments. How do we get that? By going through the four different types of vices when we are praying. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless," and this is found in Galatians 2:20. "Nevertheless, I don't live. It is not me, but it is Christ living in me. By what? The faith of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us." That's him living in us. If Christ had taken out the time, given us the Holy Spirit, and it actually said that we're the temple of God, shouldn't we be acting like Christ, praying the same way he did, fervently praying, putting up those sweet aromas to God? The first bite with stack tea. It means a small drop. Grind our prayers up small and specifically. Specific. Onekai, to stir up with effort. Put a lot of energy into it. Kalamahan, our best part, the choicest part of our time. And that was also another one, frankincense. It's white and it's holy and it's burning. It burns real bright. It's almost like you can hardly look at it. God's attention is drawn as we kneel and have this approach to our prayer life. If we go to God, and this is how we want to pray, that we really diligently want to pray with a righteous attitude, with a humble attitude toward God, and to use the outline of what these spices really mean in our prayer life. So let our prayers be a sweet smell to our God. The more we reflect on God, the more we'll take up His character. The more we'll become like Him. The more that we begin to reflect more and more how God truly wants it to be. You know, one day, maybe not in a too distant future, definitely not for some of us, because we'll be in the grave just momentarily, it seems, and we'll be in God's kingdom. I hope that includes all of us. And won't it be nice to sit, or whatever the position is, and we see God talking to us, and I don't know how He'll do it, but He'll have time enough for each and every one of His children to communicate personally with them. Just think how fabulous it would be to sit before Him, talking to Him, and learning more about Him and His ways and His universe. Guess what? We can do that now. Have a great Sabbath.